Father, we pray for just guidance and wisdom, anointing upon it, that you would use this area of Scripture just to speak to our hearts today, that we would be encouraged and built up as we leave and depart from here, and that we would have something to share with those around about us today. And so we give you glory for that and pray your will now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18. We're continuing on. We're getting close to the end. Not too many more weeks left here in Revelation. And so as we've been through these last few chapters, and especially last week, we discussed the religious system of Babylon. And I showed up some brochures last week about reasons why I'm not a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness, and we ran out after the first service. We do have more today if you wanted to pick some of them up after the service. They are available out there today. And does anybody need a Bible? Everybody's got a sword. Okay, good. So anyway, last week we talked about the religious system of Babylon. And as we mentioned before, there's more to Babylon than just being a city. It's also this religious system that we talked about last week, as well as an economic system that is involved in that. And so as we looked at those pagan religions last week and we discussed how they all had their root, all had their beginning at Babel, and they started out there. So as we looked at the spiritual implications of Babylon last week, and if you happen to have missed that, it is available on the website, and you can download it or listen to it there or even watch it there. And so you can pick up on some of the things we talked about the false religions of the future and of now, the ones we have going on in our societies today. But today here in chapter 18, we will be looking at materialism. That Babylonian thing that Babylon has been so famous for so long. And the materialism, Babylon and the material system there, is it's the desire for things, the desire for power, it's the desire for world domination. Is that's what that is all about. And all of those things can be placed under the idea of Babylon in this situation. And so Babylon is, of course, an actual city, but it's also that center of pagan religious systems and the center of greed and power and corruption of all kinds. And when we talk about Babylon, and then at the end of chapter 16, at the end of those seven bowls of wrath, that last one we talked about, that Babylon would be divided. You know, it would be divided into three parts and it would be separated. And so we kind of see these three parts in these three things: a city, the false religion, and the material system that's going on there. But here in Revelation, as we look at, and we know that Babylon, as this city and as this religious system and as this materialism, is the love of material wealth. It's this love of material wealth. And all of these things, all three of them, are going to be destroyed. They're all going to be gone. There will be a time in the future where the world system as we know it today, it will be destroyed, and Jesus will reign supreme because he wins. He wins, hallelujah. Satan knows that if you don't fall for the lies of false religion, so a lot of times he can get us through materialism. He can grab a hold of us there. It seems that the rich seem to always want more and more and more. Their greed keeps them from having contentment. And to me, I think one of the best things about being a believer is just being content, knowing God's will is being worked out in your life. And what he's brought to your way is the best. And that's contentment. And yet the world doesn't have that. Greed keeps us from being content in any which way. So here in chapter 18, Jesus is going to judge this system and bring it to an end as we see that. So, excuse me, let's read chapter 18 here of Revelation. It says, "After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven and having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine and the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in the sins and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. And it says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of objects of ivory, every kind of objects of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep and horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. It's a little different thing there. And then verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things that are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you any more. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of the lamp shall not be shine in you any more, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in anyone any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Ooh, so quite a chapter here as we see this economic system just be destroyed, because there is coming a time where this system of that loves wealth and power, it will come to an end, as we read about it here. We just read it. So these things are going to happen, and it says there in verse 1, after these things. And so we're back to that Greek word metatauta. After these things, what things? After the fall of the religious system that we read about last week. And that we believe that will happen in the middle of the Great Tribulation. At the end of that 3.5-year period, that's when the beast declares himself as God. sets himself up on the altar, and then that's when the religion, that false religion, will fall, because the kings of the earth will all destroy it. They'll think, we don't need that anymore. We have the power now. We have this, we have the authority. And they take it away from that religious system, and they take it on themselves at the end of that 3.5 year period. But that's when, at that point, the beast is to be worshipped as he sets himself on the throne. But near the end of this great tribulation, toward the end, this monetary system, this world power system of greed, it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be taken care of by God. He will deal with it. And then verse 1, it goes on, it says, "And I saw another angel coming down from heaven." So it seems there are these different angels doing different jobs, as we've been seeing that throughout the book of Revelation here. But he says, having great authority on the earth, he was illuminated with his glory. So this angel has authority. He's very bright and magnificent. He's illuminated. And then verse 2 says, he cried mightily with a loud voice. He cried mightily with this loud voice. That's the idea of dealing with the reality of what is predicted. He's making an authoritative call to the people of God, to God's people, and he's saying authoritatively, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. So when it says he cries mightily, he's with authority, is loud. You know, when a police officer tells somebody to stop, they don't go, stop. No, they say it with authority. They command them to stop, or we will stun you, or shoot you, or do whatever, you know. Whatever the situation is, you know, this crazy world we're living in these days. But, you know, it's this idea that this angel is crying mightily. He's crying out with authority, with a confidence to God's people about this. And he says, what does he say? Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. And when you see it repeated like that, it means it is an absolute reality that this will happen. It's a reality. It's as if Babylon has already fallen in God's eyes in that sense. The victory has already been won. It was won on the cross. That's where it was won. So when you read this repeated, is fallen, it's just a matter of time to get to this point. When it gets to this point, but it's already been decided because God wins. He won on the cross for us when Jesus died and rose again. So this system, this monetary system in the end of the end times, it will fall. It will collapse. It will come to that place. And you know, it's interesting how the Lord always helps me out with the news, you know, because I started this on Monday morning, started studying this and going over this. And of course, Monday morning, what was happening? The market was crashing. You know, it's just like people woke up in the Monday morning, and some of them that are involved in that had lost thousands and maybe more, you know, of money just overnight while they were asleep. They woke up the next morning, it was falling. And so when I was reading this and I was looking at it, I went, well, man, Lord, thanks for the news. You know, it goes right along with where I'm at in Revelation. And so this system will fall. And we've experienced this week, how easy that can happen, plus how quick it can happen. There's no stability in that monetary system. There just isn't, you know. It will, and then he goes on and it says it will be made to be like the dwelling place of demons. Like the dwelling place. This verse is a picture of utter destruction. It's saying there's a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. See, the Jews had their laws of things that were clean and unclean. And this place here is literally or figuratively a place that's to be found desolate, totally desolate. Only evil will be there in this place that he's referring to. You know, this could be an extension of the lake of fire we'd be talking about, because that's the ultimate dwelling place of demons, is that lake of fire, and as well as Satan himself. And so we'll get to that when we get to the end of Revelation here a little bit farther. Then verse 3 says, for all the nations have drunk. All the nations. So everyone is involved with her. There's nobody left out. the whole world at this time, because of all the people that have already gotten saved and raptured out for the church in chapter 4, but then those tribulation saints, most of them have probably didn't take the mark, have probably been killed by this time. So the people left here on this earth, they're all drinking of this materialism. After the false religion is gone and this Babylonian system of materialism comes in, everybody's going to get on the wagon. They're going to, of course, I want that. That's all right. But they are all going to share in this judgment because they all partake of it. This entire world system, this world economy, you know, everyone seems to be worried about the world economy. It's one of the things that I see drives people to go to vote. You know, people want to know if the economy is important to the candidate that they want to vote for. And as believers, we need to know that it's not the economy that provides for us. It's not. You know, I don't look to the president to make sure I'm being taken care of. I just don't. You know, I think it was President Reagan said that the success of the welfare system is how many people get off of it, not how many people are on it. You know, that's where the success of that system would be. But so many go to the voting polls, they vote based on their wallet and not on their values and on their morals. They look at that voting in that way. But, you know, but believe me, the government or the president cannot take care of me. He just can't do it. Jesus is our only provider of good things. He's Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides. He's the one and the only one. But the world profits from the economy. See, that's what drives it. The world gets profit from it. The world loves profits, and they don't care how they get it. They just don't care. Usually the profit comes from the work of the little guy, from the little person. That's how the world economic system works. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're not worried about the poor. If you're not a part of Jesus, if you don't know him, you're not worried about the little guy. You're only worried about you. You want you. Get all you can for you. And that's the key. The Babylonian system only looks out for itself. It's very self-oriented. It's giving everything you can for self, not caring what happens to others on your way up. Those that are climbing up that corporate ladder like that, those in that Babylonian world system, they don't care. People will make money from the most degrading things out there. If someone can make money on prostitution, well, then it can be legal in Nye County. Now today you have these marijuana businesses opening up. Greedy people that just, they take advantage, and they want to make more and more and more money. You know, of course, it's supposed to be for medicinal purposes. You know, I saw on the news where this one here in town was opening up. I saw the line of people waiting to get in. They're all about 22 to 24 really healthy young men getting their medical marijuana, you know. That's just the Babylonian system gets people to do what they would not normally do and to make money on anything they can because the Babylonian system pays them a lot of money for it. You know, the Babylonian system, though, takes and takes and takes. It takes from people. The Babylonian system is always balanced on the backs of the poor. So you see so many of these huge corporations in America going over into third world countries and using slave labor to make their product. And then they bring it back home and they get these huge profits for it. They can get it done so cheap over there, and yet they charge such a high price over here. And that's the Babylonian system. That's the Babylonian way of doing things, and that's why it was judged. That's why it will be defeated, because they don't care about the others. They don't care about the poor. And then in verse 4 says, come out of her. Come out of her. God's people are called to be a separate people, not joined with the world system. The Bible says we are not of the world, but we're in the world. But we're not to be of the world. We are to be salt and light, not to be getting along with the world. Jesus said, the world hated me, they're going to hate you. And when we start to get along with the world, we maybe ought to look at some things and see what's going on. You know, because bad company corrupts good morals. It's just a truth. You know, the world is like an anchor, a big, huge anchor that will only pull you down. It never works the other way. You know, it's so often a young woman will want to marry an unbeliever. You know, and her comment is always, well, once we're married, he will get saved. But usually she's the one that ends up not following after the Lord. That's just the case. Bad company corrupts good morals. It's like if you're saying you have a 500-pound man in the water and you have a 90-pound lady on the dock and she's going to try to pull that 500-pound man out of the water. Guess who's going to get wet? You know, that 90-pound lady. And it's the same thing. When you start hanging around with the world corrupts. Bad company corrupts good morals. And so we see that. So also, Babylon's sins start piling up. We see that in verse 5. He says, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. None of their sins will go unnoticed. You know, I mentioned Psalm 73 at the beginning of the service, and how the psalmist was the envious of the ungodly. And yet, he says, when he came into the sanctuary of his heart, he perceived their end. And it says, and verse 18 of 73, it says, surely you have set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so the Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. So they come to destruction very quickly. None of their sins go unnoticed with the Lord. Everything that they're doing, God has an account of this. He has an accounting of that. And yet, see, what wipes away our sins is Jesus. And he no longer holds us accountable for our sin. When you come to him, you're free of that. But he's holding them. He will hold them accountable because of oppressing the poor to make their profit in that situation. And then it says that he will repay them double. Look at verse 6. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. Why does she get double? Is God exacting revenge here? Well, yes, he is. He definitely is. He's bringing righteous vengeance on those who have wronged his people. Those who have wronged his people. And remember Zacchaeus. When he realized his sin, he paid back fourfold to anyone that he had wronged. He gave him that restitution back. So there's punishment going on here, but there's also restitution being paid as well. God's got control of all that. He is aware of it. And then it says they were glorifying self. Again, that self-motivation, that self-orientation. Verse 7 says, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously. Wow, living in that glory and just glorifying herself and living in luxury. Living in glory and luxury at the expense of others. See, this is where the harm comes in. It's living in this at the expense of others, at the expense of the oppressed and the poor. That really gets God angry. That angers him. God is not okay with what they're doing. He's just not okay with it. He's not turning away from it and saying, oh, whatever. No, he's not okay with it. He's marking it down. He's storing it up. And then one day, he will pour out his wrath on this system, on this world economic system. Then this system, it says, it will be suddenly crushed. It'll be suddenly crushed. The city, Babylon, has never had complete and sudden destruction all through history. It's been, you know, torn down a little bit, it's all this, but there's always been a few that's remained there. But this is going to be total, complete. And so this shows that this is a future event. This hasn't happened yet. It's still to come. It's still to come in the future. And in verse 8, it says, therefore her plagues will come in one day. Her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. Death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. She will be burned with fire. These are the things that are coming. These are the things that are going to happen. So again, this is both a system and a city that's going to be hit. So how do you strike a system in a city. Well, I think the best example for us in history is 9/11. As Al-Qaeda, in the name of their God, struck a city, but they also struck at a system. They struck at the economic system that was housed in those towers. That's what they were going after. So they struck the city, but also the system at the same time. And see, the Middle Eastern world views America as a Christian country, but they also look at the filth that pours forth from America. And that's why they call us the Great Satan. It's contradictory to them. We have a great contradiction in their eyes. Because, see, they see us claiming to be a Christian country, and Islam knows about Christians, but to them, when this so-called Christian country is the world's largest producer of pornography, it becomes confusing to them. It's confusing. Now, I'm not trying to defend Islam in any way, but really, we need to look in our own backyard. We need to see who we are. America leads a contradictory lifestyle, and many in the church overall do the same thing. But this Babylonian system will be crushed. Definitely be crushed. Verse 8 goes on and says, death and mourning and famine, and she will utterly be burned with fire. You know, it will be crushed just like 9/11, just like those towers as they just down within a few seconds from the time they started to fall. Just boom, how quickly they went. You know, it's all over. Those who profit then begin to mourn. We see this mourning and this weeping. These are the money lovers that are mourning and weeping over this because it's all gone. It's all gone. Everything is gone at this point. And the list of things that are gone is very interesting. When we see them here in verses 12 and 13, the merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet of every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron and marble, and cinnamon and incense and fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and bodies and souls of men. So that's kind of an interesting thing, that there's no more merchandising of bodies or souls of men. In other words, it may be that in the last time, slavery may return. After that false religion is gone, and maybe when this monetary system comes in, another way of making money is to bring back the buying and selling of mankind. Because there's no more merchandising the bodies and souls of men. So the souls of men, and you see the Babylonian system wants your soul. That's what it's after. It's not just after your pocketbook, it wants your soul. It wants you to be sold out to the love of money. That's what it's all desires. The love of power, the love of world domination. Those are kind of like the triunity of the monetary system, so to speak. The love of money, the love of power, and the love of world domination. Those are the three things that it's really after. You know, and the old ads for McDonald's and Burger King really say it all. They really embrace this Babylonian system. You deserve a break today. You know, well, do you? Well, they want you to believe that you do. The world system wants you to believe that. Or the Burger King, have it your way. You know, these are the things that represent the Babylonian way of thinking. You deserve it. You deserve it. Go ahead, have it your way. You know, when you watch the ads on TV, they're telling you all the things that you deserve. And no matter what it takes to get them, it may take another job or two to get them, but go ahead and do that. Don't matter what you can't do for the Lord. Just work for these things. You deserve them. You need them. You know, people begin to feel like, oh, yeah. You know, oh, yeah, I do deserve. I deserve that bigger house. I deserve that huge bank account. Yeah, that's Babylonian thinking at its finest when we start to feel that way. That's that self-centeredness that we all struggle with anyway. And the enemy wants to feed into that and place things in front of us. And that's where the TV ads just tell us we deserve these things. We should have them. And then it goes on in verse 14. It says, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. The things that the soul is. The Bible says, what good is it to man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know, all those things that you long for in your soul, they're all gone at this point. It's all gone. They're weeping over all the stuff, all the riches, all the fine things. It's gone in just 1 hour. It means it's just such a short, minimal time. It's just gone. And all the things which are the rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. They're not going to come back. There's going to be that time when the market falls and it won't bounce back. It'll be crushed. It'll be gone. It comes with a sudden destruction. In 1 hour, it's all gone. It's gone. God will have the victory over a world system that has oppressed millions of people down through time. They will now reap what they've sown, and they will be utterly destroyed. And so we need to be telling people about Jesus. Then it goes on in verse 21 again. It says, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth. So nothing left. All these things are taken away. All these things that people get involved with to make money. And all these things that money brings. It brings entertainment. It brings all of these other things. You know, the family, bridegroom and bride, will not be heard anymore. In other words, the family will be destroyed. The enemy's working on that right now, double time, out to destroy the family in that type of way. But nothing will be left. No entertainment. And well, what about the entertainment? Boy, isn't that a great example of something Babylonian today? The entertainment system and how it focuses everything on what we should have and what we need. And just go be entertained. You know, don't think about anything. Just escape your reality. You know, you go into Disneyland, the happiest place on the earth. You don't think about anything except the price you had to pay to get in there. You know? Which is getting really ridiculous. Now they're going to build another one, so you'll have more money to pay. You know, so the whole realm of entertainment will be coming down. The entertainment's going to be gone. The commerce is going to be gone. The families who rejoice in commerce will be gone. It's all over for the Babylonian system. That's what we see here in Revelation 18. As we've seen the wrath poured out in 16, we've seen this false religion fall, and especially by the middle of the tribulation, then this world economic system comes in with power and all these things, and it falls too. So a couple of things I see here as I look at this. First, it's the love of money. You know, the love of money, the Bible says it is the root of all kinds of evil. A scripture is usually misquoted, and usually people say the love of money is the root of all evil. Or the money is the root of all evil. But no, it's the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's that passion for it, that love. So at the heart of this search, this system, this merchandise, wealth, what is its root? It's the love of money. That's at the heart of it. Money corrupts the soul. And because your soul will chase after it. Your flesh wants the pleasures that it brings. It just does. We've seen so much evil revolve around the idea of money. How many things go on? Evil happens. There are many leaders of third world countries that have billions and billions of dollars worth of stuff, and their people are going without. You see it all the time. That's the love of money. That's the love of power. And we feel justified when we see other nations do this. We see other nations do it and doing things like that, and we think, well, we're not really doing that. But what about here? What about us as individuals today? Remember the merchants in the text. Remember, first it was the kings of the earth were weeping, And there in verse 11, it says, and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. They're weeping. This system has collapsed. Here the merchants are crying and weeping over all the loss of their stuff. All the stuff. When people lose everything, either in an earthquake or a hurricane or some disaster, some of the people you see just fall apart. They don't know how to handle it. You know, they're just, oh, I've lost everything. It's all gone. Their whole life is just destroyed. They're okay, but all of their stuff has been destroyed. Some of them just fall apart when that happens. Then there's others that you hear saying, man, we're sure thankful that God spared our lives. And they also say things like, well, we know He will provide for us. He will take care of us. So what's the difference in this people? Well, one is in Babylon. One is in Babylon, and the other is just a pilgrim passing through this world, not hanging on to all of the stuff. When all that stuff has been taken away, the pilgrim doesn't care. They know God gives and God takes away. And they're not clinging to it. They're not hanging on to it. And you know, when you hang on to something and somebody tries to pry it out of your hand, it hurts. We need to just open up our hand and let God take the things that He wants to take. These merchants are weeping. This is one of Satan's way of doing things, is to get us so focused on stuff. He wants our focus to be on the stuff and not so much on Him. He brings it in very slowly with us. He's patient with us. But we live in a world that loves stuff. We really do. You know, every time you turn on the TV, the world is going to be trying to sell you stuff. It just does. It tells you that you need to have more. Boy, the infomercials. It's only $19.95, but wait a minute. There's more. Oh, man, we're going to throw in this. You need this. All of these things. And then, of course, bigger is better. Supersize it. You know, supersize it. The world tells you that you need the biggest truck out there. You need the Hummer. Man, you got to have the Hummer. It doesn't matter how much gas it costs to run it. You know, but you need it. You need that big thing. You don't need just something to get you to where you want to go and back. You know, you need this big thing. If you don't know that yet, just keep watching TV. You know, they'll get the message across to you eventually. I love to mute the commercials. You know, I just really do. When I first married Lois and we'd be watching TV and all of a sudden I had the remote, of course, because, you know, the guys get the remote. But the commercial would come on and I'd mute it and she'd go, what happened? I muted it. You know, now she's kind of used to it now. But it's just, you know, why listen to them? You know, why is, you know, it's a good time if you're watching TV together. When you mute the commercials, it's a good time to talk to each other, you know, and start have some communication also. You know, then what happens when you go to your mailbox? Wow, that's where you find out you need all these credit cards. You know, you need them, you know, right. Then if you pay off one, boy, then they start tripling. You know, then you can't hardly get into your mailbox anymore. There's so many of them. They're pouring in. You know, I know we don't need any more cards, but the world tries to convince me that I do. Man, I can't get along with one more card. That's what they try to tell you. We don't consider the cost when we get involved in this stuff, though. We have to count the cost. When you buy a house, you don't realize it in a few years. Things are going to start to need to be replaced and repaired. There's going to be a cost. Stuff takes time and energy. And the more you have, the more it takes. That's just a reality. That's the way it is. So we all need to search our heart today and see, where are we at? Where are we really at today? We're the only ones that can determine that in our own hearts. Each of us needs to go before the Lord and let Him show us. Show us what is taking our time, what is taking our energy from Him and from our families. What things of the world are doing that? There's nothing wrong, though. I want to make this clear. There's nothing wrong with being blessed with something nice. That's a blessing to me. I always get encouraged when I see a believer that God is richly blessed. Why is He blessed him? Because he's been a good steward of things. He hasn't built up blessings on the backs of the oppressed. He's taken care of the poor. He's blessed others. He's thought of others more than himself. And when you do that, there's nothing wrong with God pouring out his blessings on you. And God will do that. He's a loving God. He wants to pour out blessings on his children, but we need to have that right heart. Where is our focus on that? It all comes down to our heart. Is your heart looking to Babylon? Is it looking past all of this world, and looking past that and looking to that big city in the sky? Looking to heaven, where our real home is, where all the right stuff is? So which one are you focused on? That's the question. You know, when you think about retirement as a time when you will be able to do what you want and go where you want to go, or are you thinking, wow, when I retire, man, I'll be able to go and serve the Lord wherever I want and wherever he wants to use me? You know, are you thinking, man, when I retire, I'm able to go and serve the Lord? That's where your thoughts are? See, the skills that you have in your career today, those same skills, when you retire, God can use them for his kingdom. He can use them for his kingdom when you retire. Now, not everyone is called to go out, but you could use your retirement years to do something heavenly. Do something as unto the Lord. Instead of, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You know, my dad loved to fish and camp all of his life. He loved to fish and camp. So when he retired, he built a home up in Pine Valley, up by Pine Valley, Utah. Lived up there, went fishing quite a bit. But more, the longer he was retired, the more I seen him down here. And I'm like, well, Dad, what about the fishing? Well, I don't know, you know. So he was in construction. So the last year before he died, he convinced me that he had to build my living room in, my carport in, to make an extra fireplace and a jacuzzi. And he came down and spent the whole summer working on my house instead of fishing. But you know, that's just the way retirement goes sometimes in that way. But we don't even know if we'll make it to retirement. How much of the Lord's time do we waste on stuff, though? That's what we let the Lord search your heart. Are you burdened with stuff? You know, are you burdened trying to get it? Trying to get it through the many things of going. If you don't have much that can consume your energy and your thoughts as you try to figure out how to give more. That's the problem. When we don't have much, we try to figure out how to get more. And that consumes our energy and our time. So where does God's plan fit into your life? Where does it fit? Dare this morning to ask him to give you the things he wants you to have and to take away the things he does not want you to have. Now that's a pretty risky prayer. That's a risky prayer. We like the first part. Lord, give me all the things you want me to have. That's the easy prayer. But the second part about, Lord, take away everything that distracts me from your purpose in my life. That's the harder part. Leave the things that are okay and take away the things that are not. Can we pray that? Show me your way, Lord. That's the prayer of someone sold out for Jesus. Sold out for him. That's a fanatic. And a fanatic is somebody that loves Jesus more than you do. But here in this chapter, we see this statement, it's all going to burn. And that statement is very, very true. All the stuff is going to burn. Even if it doesn't burn before you go, you leave it behind to someone else and they may mess it all up. They might not handle it right. You can't take it with you. So where is God in his plan for you and your life? Where is he? Don't ever worry that God will shortchange you. He will never shortchange you. He will always provide and give the best of the best for your life. As I walk in his way, I'm confident that he will take care of me time after time. Unlike I can care for myself. And very much more unlike the world can take care of me. He'll take much better care of me. Would you be able to recognize if you're in the bondage to stuff? Because sometimes we don't even recognize it. We can become so attached to the things of the world that we don't even see it sometimes. We're kind of blinders to it, and the enemy wants to put those on. So pray about it. Take it to the Lord to show you in your heart. He will show you in great detail, and he won't leave you guessing. He won't leave you guessing at all. The other thing is, verse 4 says, come out of her. Come out of her. This is indicating that a Christian can be in Babylon. He can be in Babylon. They don't belong there, but they're living there. They've rented out space there. They're involved with the things of Babylon, and Jesus says, come out of that. Come out of that. If you're living in the wrong place, Jesus says. As a Christian, you don't have anything, nothing in common with a system that loves material things. You don't have anything. We as Christians love spiritual things. That's what our desire should be. The material is going to be judged, and we need to get a hold of that truth someday. That system is going to be taken away. It will all burn with fire, all of it. I'm seeking reward, not judgment. And that system is going to be judged. In your heart this morning, as we take communion today, it's something to keep in mind. Remember what Jesus has done. He paid a price for all of us that to have the spiritual blessings, more spiritual blessings than we could even imagine if we're obedient to Him. So let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this time now. I thank You for Your